the sun rose that morning on the day of Job's trial, he rose up to serve God as any other day. Bound and determined to live in God's favor, and nothing would stand in his way. But then the messengers came one by one with their stories. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. Great wealth and riches and the health of his body, and even his children were dead. But Job said, "The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served God before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Then Job's wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, "You should end it, yes, curse God and die." But Job rose from the ashes and he looked toward the heavens and brushed back the tears in his eyes. He said, "The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served God before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When troubles come silently, blessed be the name. When storm winds blow violently, blessed be the name. When Satan comes oppressing me, blessed be the name. I'll still serve God faithfully, blessed be the name. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I serve God."
Ephesians chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 is where we'll begin our reading. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I want us to notice in verse 16, if we could, this expression. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And with the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach this message entitled, "It's About Time." It's about time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning as we look at your word, guide and direct our thoughts. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to see this morning the importance of our time. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide and direct. Lord, give us wisdom that we need for the decisions of our life today and tomorrow. And may you be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. And we bring these things before you, Lord. We need your help this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that as Christians, we are to redeem the time. Now, the word redeem is a simple meaning in this word. It means to buy back. And the Bible is teaching us very simply that we are to make good use of our time on this earth. Life is a gift. Life is a gift. And when we talk about it's about time, we're talking about our life because our life consists of time. Someone said, if you don't want to squander your life, then don't squander time, because time is what life is made out of. The Bible says our life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. So when we talk about it's about time, we're talking about your life. We're talking about my life. Your life consists of the time each day. And the Bible teaches us that we are to make good use of the time that we have. None of us know the time that we have upon this earth. We don't know how old we will be when time will be taken from us and we'll step into eternity. Only God knows those answers. But the Bible says that we are to be good stewards of the time that we have. So time is the vehicle by which life is delivered. And all of us in one day, we all have 24 hours. We all have 1,400 minutes, 86,400 seconds. All of us have that. And it's interesting how when someone says something like, I don't have time, and yet someone else had time, and those people have more things to do, but yet they found time. It's because we all have our way of dividing up our time. And so the Bible is teaching us here that time is precious, and take some time and think of your priorities and set those priorities to honor God. Someone calculated how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent. The Bible says this is the average of humanity, 70 years. And the person calculated of how their time, an average person that lived 70 years, how their time would be spent. They said that that person would spend 23 years sleeping. He would spend 23 years sleeping, 16 years working, 8 years watching television, 6 years eating. I guess that would be sometimes some people more, some people less. Travel, 6 years. Leisure, entertainment, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years of your life is battling various illnesses and sicknesses. You spend 2 years of your life getting dressed. Again, some more, some less, right? And a half a year of an average person's life is spent on religion. And obviously, this is talking about a wide range of religions. But think about your own life. Think about how much time you spend in your life and how much time you give to God. You know, how much time do you give to the Lord? You know, we have 3 services a week, 3 hours a week. If you're faithful to all 3 of those services, what is 3 hours in 1 week? 86,000 seconds in every day. How many seconds are you giving to the Lord? I'm just trying to remind you the time you have this opportunity to use it for the Lord. God has given it to you as a steward. And I'm saying that it's vital to understand that we should not waste the time we have. We should spend it for God, and we should be wise stewards. A story is told of a man who walked through an old graveyard, and he was noticing the lives that were lived upon this earth. And he would notice their name, and he would notice the date they were born, and he would notice the date they died. And he realized this important truth, that that small dash between his birth and his death, or her birth and her death, was the life that he lived or she lived. That small dash represented the time that they had. And God is saying in that passage of Scripture that life's a vapor. You have a small dash, and you need to invest it wisely. You need to use it for God. This is what the passage of Scripture is teaching us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me give you some thoughts, if I could, quickly this morning about time. Number one, can we think about, if you're taking notes, would you write it down, the priority of your time. The priority of your time. Most people enter each day on a treadmill of meaningless routines. Each day is a repeat of the last. They go to bed, they catch enough rest to do it again tomorrow. And don't get me wrong, routines are beneficial, but we need to understand the overall success of our life and what God has planned for us. Our lives should be more than just going to bed, waking up, going to work, coming home, eating supper, watching the news, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. The Bible teaches us that we have this dash that we are to redeem for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible uses an expression, we can find it in our text here. The Bible says, look what the scripture says in verse 14. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now that expression there, arise from the dead, or awake thou that sleepest, is the idea to break free from these routines that control our life, and to stop for a moment and think about how our time is being used. Because here's the thing, you can get on the treadmill of life and you can go through your life on this treadmill, and until you get to a prime age in your life, you can look back and say, where did life go? Where did my life go? This dash, where did it go? It is gone. And so the Bible says in this passage of scripture, place importance on time and look at your life and think about how you're spending that time and make sure that you are buying it back or redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That expression there, the days are evil, it speaks of the fact that there are so many things that are pulling for your time. The days are evil. It's easy to get sidetracked in our world today. You know, I always go back to the sermon that my brother-in-law preached, Eric Levier, missionary Eric Levier in Quebec. And he talks about how in his church, there are people from all over the world. They come to his church and from Africa, friends speaking languages, and they'd come to his church. And many of these individuals, They were deacons in the church in Africa. They were spiritual leaders in that church. But then after years of being in Canada, they've drifted away from the priority of serving the Lord, and church no longer was an importance to them, and serving the Lord no longer an importance to them. And Brother Levier will say he'll get calls from pastors of these other countries saying, oh, so-and-so is in your church, and they were a deacon in my church, and how are they doing in your church? And Brother Levier will say, well, they don't even attend our services anymore. And the reality is because there's so much in our world in North America that just pull us away. And the Bible says, no, listen, redeem the time because the days are evil. There are so many things that are trying to pull at your time, trying to get priority in your time, trying to get first place in your time. And so the Bible says here, Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. And so the Bible says here, you need to wake up and get off of the treadmill of the daily routine and just going through the motions, and wake up and realize your time is leaving you. And you only have a certain amount of time to do God's will upon this earth. So the Bible says, wake up. Let me give you some thoughts. Letter A, wake up to salvation. Wake up to salvation. Isaiah chapter 55, would you turn there with me in the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 6. If you don't have a Bible, you should find one close to you in a pew. We want you to follow along and see what the Bible says here. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. The scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. The Bible teaches us to seek the Lord while he may be found. The reality is that we have opportunity. And so the Bible says, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's time to wake up in a spiritual way and to realize that Jesus Christ died for you. He's the only way that you can go to heaven. You can't go to heaven through works, or you can't go to heaven through religion. I was talking with someone yesterday, and we were talking about this idea of a works-based salvation and how it's everywhere in our world today. And the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, you need to keep the law. And the rich young ruler said, well, I've kept the law from my youth. And Jesus said, all right, then go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. The Bible says he walked away sorrowful because he had many riches. You know what Jesus was teaching that man? He was teaching that man that salvation was not by the law, for he did not love his neighbor as himself, and he could not keep the law. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. And he was revealing that man's heart that the law was never given to help us, but to leave us helpless, and to realize that salvation is found in no other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is found in the wonderful, precious, powerful name of Jesus. And salvation is found in him and him alone. And if you've not come the way of the cross, if you've not come to the Lord Jesus and admitted your sin and asked him to save you, then friend, listen, it's time to awake to salvation. It's time today. Now is the acceptable time. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Today is the day you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Today is the day that you need to come the way of the cross. Do you know why? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. In fact, you're not even guaranteed the next hour. You don't know when your time will come to an end and you'll step into eternity. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you will be separated from God for all eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. And so today is the day of salvation. Today's the day to awake to salvation, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. But when I talk about awaking to salvation, I'm not just talking about the unsaved individual. I'm also talking about the Christian. You say, Pastor Burns, what are you talking about? Well, see, a Christian has salvation. They have eternal life, but maybe they're not walking in the benefit of that eternal life. And so the Bible says, awake to salvation, awake thou that sleepest, and start acting like a Christian, and start enjoying the wonderful things of the Lord. I love the story of Lazarus. When Jesus raised him from the dead, he came late, and Mary and Martha were crying, and the Bible says Jesus wept. And I, you know, there are great men, theologians that say, you know, Jesus saw the sinful need of humanity. I just think that, you know, here's all of these people crying and all these people sorrowful. And Jesus came and realized what death was going to do to humanity and the separation that would take place because of death, because death brings separation and eternal death is eternal separation. And Jesus wept when he saw Mary and Martha and the effects of death and the effects of sin and all that sin would do on this old world. But the Bible says that Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. And it's a wonderful thing. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And he had to call him by name, by the way, because if he would have said, just come forth, all the graves would have been opened. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came. And the Bible says he was bound, still in those grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now think about this. There's some Christians today that have been resurrected. I mean, they're free in the Lord Jesus. They have new life in Christ. The problem is they're still bound in those grave clothes. They're still depending on the old life. They're still living their life with an old perspective. And the Bible says, no, listen, awake to salvation. Understand where you are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are free in Christ. We have power in the Lord and victory in Jesus. And so I remind you this morning to be loose from that old life and be loose from those old grave clothes and live your life in victory in Jesus Christ. Now's the time to live for the Lord. Awake to salvation. Think about this, if we could awake to God's priorities. Now, Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. Do you believe that? The greatest gift ever given. God gave us the best he could give. He gave himself. And he came so that we could know him in a personal way. Look back in your life this week. Take some time and think about this past week. Think about what you've done, the goals that maybe were accomplished. And ask yourself, were you truly spiritually awake? Were you truly spiritually awake? You say, Pastor Burns, what do you mean? How many people did God bring your way this week so that you could give them the gospel, and yet because you were so busy doing good things, you forgot about the best thing? What I'm saying is that oftentimes on this treadmill of life, we forget about God's priorities. We forget about God's leading. We forget about what God has directed us. Let me give you some God-given priorities in the Bible. First of all, the Bible teaches us, husbands, love your wives as God has loved the church. You say, Pastor Burns, is that important? That's a God-given priority. And the Bible says that we are to love our spouse. We are to care for them, and we are to guide them. We are to invest in our children. We're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You say, is that important? That's a God-given priority. That is absolutely important in your life, witnessing to that coworker. You say, Pastor Burns, I don't know if I can tell him about Jesus. I'm scared I'm going to mess up his theology. Friend, he's already heading to hell. Tell him about what you've experienced in your life. Give him a gospel tract. Tell him that you love to pray to the Lord and you will pray for him. If they have any kind of need, let me know. And I would love to pray for you. It's subtle, it's simple. But listen, what you're doing is awaking them to spiritual things. And when they have a problem, guess who they're going to come to? They're going to come to you. They're going to bring that request to you, and you have opportunity as they are spiritually searching to give them more truth and more light. I'm saying that that's a God-given priority. Ministering to others, encouraging friends and family to keep on keeping on. These are God-given priorities. Working hard at your workplace, it's a God-given priority. Ministering within the local church, it's a God-given priority. Listen, friend, time is absolutely free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once it's lost, you will never get it.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org. Or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236. Or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
Week ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RU Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. And whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RU offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RU is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith, anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your first weekend for strong beginnings with RU Recovery? RU Recovery meets Friday nights at 7 p.m. at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. For more information, call Michael at 226-336-7680.